We now present another episode in a radio series based on the world-famous BBC comedy success, Steptoe and Son. With Wilfred Bramble as Albert and Harry H. Corbett as Harold. This week, tea for two.
Rule Britannia, Britannia rules the waves.
Oi, 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 keep it down.
What?
I'm working.
U-M-P-H-R-Y. Humphrey.
Oi, oi, oi.
What?
That is my pile of election addresses.
Well?
You have just put one of yours on it.
Did I? Yes, you did.
And I'd be most grateful if you'd get your Tory filth off of my pile.
There's no need for you to lose your temper. Anybody can make mistakes.
You're only doing this to annoy me, aren't you?
Doing what?
This election work. You never done it for.
Well, I'm doing it now.
You know, I'm Labour Party secretary for this ward, and you are deliberately trying to undermine my credibility with the electorate.
No, I'm not. I think it's very important the Conservatives should win this election, and I'm going to do everything I can to help them.
You're a traitor. A traitor to the working class.
I'm not working class.
No, that's true. You're a ponce. Yeah. Like all the rest of your party, living off the fruits is our labour. You're a parasite.
No, I'm not. I'm management.
Who are?
Well, all firms have got workers and management. Same with us. You are the worker, I'm the management.
You?
Yeah, me. Somebody's got to be in control.
You couldn't control traffic in the Sahara Desert. And that's why this country's in a mess what it's in today. Inefficient management. The boardrooms of Britain is controlled by economic buffoons. When it comes down from Cambridge with their first-class honours degree for rowing and badminton and goes straight onto the board. Oh, it's disgraceful. They wouldn't be allowed to make the tea in Japan or Germany.
They're not allowed to have tea breaks in Japan or Germany. The workers are made to work there. They've forgotten how over here. That's the trouble. And that's Harold Wilson's fault. Filling them up with a load of old cobblers at them all being equal. The world belongs to them.
And so it does. And one of these days, we're going to realise it. We're going to rise up, hold out their hands across the sea to their brothers, and throw off their shackles of bondage, pull back their shoulders, hold their heads up high, and take the old diabolical, decadent, poncing lot over.
Not in this country they won't, mate. And you know why? Because half of them is Tories. Every year more and more working class are voting Tory. It's getting very worrying for people like me. Class of person voting Tory now has gone right down the pan. Don't seem right that scruffs on council estate should be allowed to vote for gentlemen like Sir Alec.
How you can sit there with your fundamental orifice hanging out of your trousers and talk like that, I really don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't understand it. People like you completely bemuse me. I want to give up sometimes. Every time the Labour Party loses an election, I just want to give up. I think, what's the point of me keep struggling?
Yeah, you're a bad sport, a rotten loser.
Oh, Dad, it's not a cricket match. It's our whole future's at stake.
Our future's never been so bright since Mr. Heath got in.
Oh, God. Oh, if it wasn't so pathetic, I'd laugh. Ted Heath, oh, dear, Captain Nemo. Playing the organ as his boat slowly sinks beneath the waves. Well, I don't know how I bother about arguing with you. You know nothing about politics.
Who don't?
You don't. Have you read Adam Smith's Wealth of the Nation?
No.
John Stuart Mill's?
No.
George Bernard Shaw?
No.
Sidney and Beatrice Webb?
No.
And I don't suppose you've even heard of Karl Marx.
Oh, yes, I have. He's the one that played the harp.
You ignorant, twisted little peasant. Karl Marx wrote a book called Das Kapital. That's the greatest book ever written, which is the Bible of socialism.
Yeah, there's only one Bible I read round here, and that's that one up there.
It's down there, dropping a sideboard up. Well, it's been for the past 20 years. It shows how often you read it.
Yeah, well, I know it anyway.
Good. In that case, you will be fully aware of the fact that Jesus Christ was, in fact, a socialist.
How dare you! How dare you blaspheme in this house?
Well, of course he was a socialist. We never think he did, ever think he preached. His every action, a socialist.
It don't make him a socialist just because he shared out his loaves and his Lillian Gish with the 5,000.
His Lillian Gish? That's not all he did. He threw the moneylenders out of a temple. Of
course he did. They're not allowed to be in there. Business should be conducted on the premises intended for it. You wouldn't want to see a branch of Barclays Bank halfway down the nave at Canterbury Cathedral.
Oh, dear, well, that wasn't the point he was making. It was a specific rejection of the capitalist ethic. What he was in fact saying was that in the nature of things, I mean, all things being equal, by and large, what's the point in talking to you? You're like all your lot, political dinosaurs, unable to evolve and therefore doomed to extinction.
Yeah, well, we chewed your heads off last June, didn't we? Clobbered you out of sight, we did.
We shall return. This by-election will be a reaffirmation of faith in Harold and the principles of social democracy. And with my help, the decline in the fortunes of the Labour Party will stop here, in Old Drums Lane, Shepherd's Bush West. We're on our way back, brother.
Don't you call me brother. I'm your father.
All men is brothers. Here, look at this electoral roll. Mr. and Mrs. Amanda Hagagoon Hassan.
Bloody silly names.
Not of him.
There's not an English name down this street. I don't know why they bother having by-elections round here. They ought just to appoint a high commissioner and have done with it.
Yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you, eh? A gunboat anchored down the canal. Woof, 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 woof. Leading down the Gold Hall Road on an elephant. Jane, 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 Jane. See him on the town hall steps and let them all do a dance in front of him. Doom, 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 doom,
doom, doom, doom, doom. Be quiet.
In honor of the Great White Queen up the road. Oh, yeah, that's you, isn't it, eh? You'd love to get back to that. You've never liked them, have you? Be honest.
I get on all right with them. At least I know them all round here. I talk to them. You don't. You just talk about them. How lovely they are. You patronise them, you do.
I don't patronise them. I love them like brothers. I'm always telling them not to worry. They're just as good as we are.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't quite put it like that. I tell them that...
What?
Well, things like... What a great man Gandhi was. What a good cricket team they've got. And anyway, it's not all that long ago. We were as illiterate as well. What road are you on?
Oil Drum Lane.
So am I. I don't know why you're bothering with Oil Drum Lane. You ain't got no chance. Our canvas returns show 100% support for Labour, except for you.
Well, that don't tally with our returns. Out of 48 households in this street, 47.5 are voting Conservative. You're the only commie round here.
Not a commie. I'm a social democrat.
Same thing.
It's not the same thing. We is perfectly prepared to tolerate an opposition party as long as they don't include little fascist pigs like you.
Yes.
I don't know who's been doing your canvassing, but it must be a right carrot, whoever he is. When did you do your canvass?
Yesterday.
So did we.
What time?
2:00.
Ah, we did ours at 2:15.
Are you suggesting that there was a 100% swing against us by the time I got down to the end of the road?
Precisely. So much for telling them what good cricket teams they've got. you got right up their nose.
I'm very sorry, I just cannot accept your figures.
Well, please yourself, you'll find out. Wait till polling day. You'll be as sick as Harold Wilson was when the furniture van pulled out.
I'll give you fair warning, Father. I shall stop at nothing to see that the Labour Party regains at least one seat, but it lost only through an act of midsummer madness on the part of the electorate.
Cobblers.
That, I take it, is a quote from your candidate's election address? No, if you will excuse me, I shall go and put my coat on. I shall go out and deliver the good word to the people of Shepherd's Bush West. We'll smash the scarlet banner high.
Yes,
yeah. We'll live and die. Look, as your son, one who cares about your health and strength, I'm tempted to offer to deliver yours for you. But as your implacable political opponent, you can go against Duff. Duff, the scarlet banner.
Yes, be quiet.
Farewell.
Yeah, Miss Scarlet Banner. Here, what's this? He's taken the wrong pile. He's got my election addresses. I would never live this down. The Tory manifesto's been delivered by the ward secretary of the Labour Party. Hello? Step down, son. Best price I've paid for old rags, woolen, scrap metal, brass, lead, zinc, copper and tin. How's this cleared? Who? Conservative Party committee rooms? Oh, good afternoon, sir. Speaking? Yes, of course, you'll be very welcome. I'll be in all day. Yeah, I look forward to seeing you. What? The election addresses? Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, they're being delivered now by my son. He's a very enthusiastic supporter.
Is this the place?
Yes.
Oh, but this is a junkyard. Do you really think it's suitable?
Oh, I think it's ideal. The press will be very interested. Give the photographers a field day.
I suppose it'll make a change from semi-detached.
It'll make every front page in the country.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Can I help you?
Mr. Steptoe?
Yes?
Delighted to meet you. My name is Cadwell, secretary of the local Conservative Party.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, may I say how grateful we are for the invaluable assistance you're giving us during this campaign?
Oh, not at all. It's my duty. We've got to keep old Wilson and his red scum out, haven't we?
Yes, quite. May I introduce Mr. Peregrine de Burville from the Conservative Party Central Office?
Pleased to meet you, sir.
My pleasure. As you know, Mr. Steptoe, this is a vital, marginal seat, and it is terribly important that we retain it. And so, Central Office have decided to pull out all the stops. All the big guns are coming down in support of our excellent choice of candidate, Mr.
Gosling.
Gosling, yes.
John Gosling.
Yes, thank you. John. Yeah, he's a good man, good man. Well, as I was saying, all the big guns. In fact, the biggest gun of all is coming.
What? No.
Precisely. Our leader, the Right Honourable Edward Heath.
Coming here to Shepherd's Bush?
Yes. His Meet the People campaign paid handsome dividends in the general election, and we are sure it'll be of equal value here.
Blimey. We haven't had any big knobs down here since Wilfred Pickles did ever go at the tram depot.
Mr. Heath will be spending an hour touring the district, and he's expressed a desire to take tea with one of the residents. Very informal, just a few dozen photographers, reporters, television, you know the sort of thing.
Ah, yeah, good idea. He does it very well, doesn't he? Very natural. Seems at home with anyone, don't he? From the highest in the land to the lowest. God bless him.
Yes. Well, the point is, Mr. Heath has asked me to say that he would consider it a great privilege if you would do him the honour of inviting him into your house to take tea with you.
Teddy? Coming here? To this place?
Yes.
Oh, no. No, I couldn't ask him here. I mean, look at it. It's in a shocking state.
Oh, come, come now. Mr. Heath is a man of the people. I'm sure he's been in worse places than this.
Eh?
I mean, I'm sure he'd be absolutely enchanted by these quaint old world surroundings. Don't you think so, Cadwell?
What? Oh, absolutely.
Quite. Well, what do you say?
I don't know what to say. I'm speechless. I've never had such a great honour bestowed on me in my life.
Then you are quite amenable to the idea.
I shall be proud to extend my hospitality to one of the greatest men of our times.
Oh, capital, capital.
I'll have to get in an extra pint of milk. What kind of tea does he drink?
Oh, well, I'm sure he'll be quite happy with whatever you drink.
How many sugars?
Oh, well, just put it in the bowl and he'll help himself.
Ah, I'll have to get a bowl. We usually take it straight out of the packet. Or I'll get some of them biscuits in. What kind of biscuits does he like? Them chocolate banana ones is nice.
As you wish.
Or custard creams. Or them ones with the little round bit of jam in the middle. You can dip them in your tea.
Yes, but I think perhaps a plain one would be much safer.
Yeah. Too many of them fancy ones might make him a bit Uncle Dick. Lay on some other stuff. I'll get some sandwiches. Fish paste, lemon curd, or... Oh, perhaps he'd like a fried egg sandwich. They're nice. Oh, no. No. Better not. The yolk squirts out of the sides when you press it. I'll get a sliced loaf, because I always cut doorsteps.
Well, don't go to too much trouble. A cup of tea and a biscuit will be fine.
Don't you worry. Leave it to me. I'll see you won't go home hungry. I know he hasn't got anybody to look after him.
Oh, well, it takes all types. Right. Right then. Tomorrow afternoon around 4:30... We'll be in touch before then. On behalf of the Prime Minister, may I say we are extremely grateful to you for inviting him.
Oh, not at all, not at all. He can bring Reggie Maudlin and old Enoch, if he likes. We got plenty of chairs.
Yes, I'll tell him. Cadwell, where are you?
Terribly sorry, I seem to be involved with this chin part.
Oh, yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Steptoe.
I could get some fish and chips in if he wants something more substantial. Teddy's coming to tea with me. I better go and whitewash the bog out.
Dad? Dad? Where are you?
I'm over here in the Kazi.
What the hell's going on here?
Mind that door. The paint's wet.
What are you doing?
Well, what's it look like? I'm doing it up. It's a disgrace. You can't expect decent people to use a place like this.
I have never bothered about it before. It's taken me all my time to get you to hang one of them blue things down it.
Well... There you are. How's it look?
It looks very nice. It looks better than the house. I think I'll move in here.
You stay out of here. You're not using this until after he's gone. You can use the one in the underground.
Till after he's gone.
Ah. We're going to have a visitor.
Toilet paper? We've never had toilet paper before. Who is it? Who's coming?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Magazines. The Yachting World. The Organist Weekly. Who's coming?
Harold, we've been picked out. We've been honoured.
Oh, come on, stop playing about. Who is it?
I'll give you three guesses.
The bank manager.
No.
The vicar.
No.
Work Oil Wells.
No.
Well, I'll give up. Who?
Teddy's.
Teddy's.
Mind it. Gangway.
Teddy's? Come back here. Hey, where are you going?
Back in the lounge.
Hold on, hold on. What do you mean,
what?
Ted Heath?
What I say. Ted Heath is coming to have tea with me here tomorrow afternoon.
What? Our Ted Heath?
Our Ted Heath, not your Ted Heath. What do you think of these? Well, I bought them down the warehouse. Look, side plates, sugar bowl, milk jug, matching cups and saucers. They're not cracked either.
Ted Heath, come in here.
Yeah, it's part of the election campaign. He's picked us out. Isn't it wonderful? I've ordered an extra pint of cold top, a French cream sandwich, some veal and ham pie.
Ted Heath is coming here to have tea with you.
Yeah, he's touring the district.
Oh, yes, 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 of course. And he's coming down to discuss the world's situation with you. Perhaps he wants you in his cabinet. It could do a lot worse. In fact, he has done. Yeah, I know what you're trying to do. I can read you like a book. This is a squalid tactical manoeuvre on your part to try and give aid and comfort to our enemies and spread alarm and despondency amongst our ranks. Ted Heath coming to a junkyard. There's as much chance of that as Ian Paisley and the Pope going on an economical boozer.
Please yourself. There's the bloke's card.
Peregrine de Burville.
Yeah. Conservative Party Central Office. It's all laid on. 4:30 tomorrow afternoon.
No, not here. He can't come here. He can't have tea in here. Not in the residence of the ward secretary of the Labour Party. He would lose all credibility. No, I'm sorry. He's not coming here.
He is. It's nothing to do with you. It's my house.
He's not coming here.
Hey, put that crockery down. He is.
He isn't.
He isn't! Stop it!
He is not coming here!
He is!
He isn't!
Put that teapot down!
Not coming here!
My new service, you've smashed it! 1 and 6 each, them cups cost me. All we have left is jam jars and tin mugs.
He is not coming here. I will not have that man in this house. He may have wormed his way into Harold Wilson's house, but he's not coming into mine.
You're talking about the Prime Minister of Great Britain. It's an honour.
He is not coming on a social visit. It's political. Had the situation been otherwise, I would have received him down here in a cordial but restrained manner, with all due respect to his office. But this is war, Father. This by-election is vitally important to us. I cannot jeopardise our candidate's position by consulting with the commander-in-chief of the opposing forces.
You don't have to. We don't want you here anyway. It's me he's coming to have a chat with. This is a private meeting between me and my leader.
Father, I ask you once and for all to consider my position in this matter. I ask you, nay, I beg you, to cancel this ill-timed confrontation.
Get knotted.
Very well. But I warn you, I cannot allow this deliberate slight to go unchallenged. I reserve the right to take whatever action I sees fit.
What are you going to do?
That is a matter between me and my conscience. You have been warned. Be it on your own head. I'm now going up to my room to finish off my article for the Clarion, attacking Edward Heath personally for his ambivalent attitude to the Commonwealth Conference and to the Concord cock-up. Good afternoon, Father. Oh, they look nice. Oh, how in keeping. Condensed milk sandwiches.
Leave alone. They're for Mr. East. I thought you was gone out.
No, I'll change my tactics. I've decided to stay here throughout the entire audience, if it lasts very long, which I doubt.
What do you mean?
Well, there certainly won't be any photographs in the papers. Well, not of him, anyway.
What are you talking about?
I shall wait until the photographers is assembled. Then off with the dressing gown. Mr. Heath is about to see his first full frontal nude flesh.
Oh, you wouldn't do it, Harold. Go and put your clothes on.
No, I intend to sit here stark naked throughout the whole visit. Dolly Clackett will be arriving shortly, and she will also be suitably unclothed. Flesh, flesh! And for entertainment, we shall be dancing the pas de deux from the second act of Old Calcutta.
You'll be arrested by the security men. You'll be detained pending a medical report.
Not at all. It is the God-given right of every Englishman to lounge around his home stark naked if he so desires.
Oh, my God!
I think the best thing you can do is run outside and tell him not to come in. All right, never mind. I'll answer it.
You wouldn't do it, would you, Harold? Not in front of Mr. East.
Wouldn't I? Would you hold my dressing gown, please?
Oh, my God! Oh, Harold, please put your dressing gown back on again.
Very well. Would you excuse me?
Oh, good afternoon. Is Mr. Steptoe in?
He is.
Peregrine de Burville, Conservative Party Central Office.
Oh, yes.
I'm in a great hurry. I won't detain you. Would you tell Mr. Steptoe that, unfortunately, there's been a change in plans?
Oh, no.
The Prime Minister won't be able to visit him this afternoon.
Oh, that's a shame.
He's in the area, but he's so far behind schedule, it'll be impossible for him to come here.
We've everything ready for him.
I've never seen so many crowds. It's absolutely horrendous. His timetable shot to pieces. Please convey my apologies to Mr. Steptoe and thank him for all his efforts.
I will. Wait, of course, he has put in a lot of hard work, you realise. I mean, there's been a lot of expense, redecoration. The grab alone has cost him a small fortune.
Well, he'll be reimbursed.
I mean, Fortnum and Mason's and Harrod's vans has been arriving all morning. He must have laid out about 60 quid at least.
All right, all right. Send your bill in to me.
Certainly. Thank you very much.
Oh, may I use your doodah?
Pardon?
Your lavy.
Lavy?
The toilet.
Oh, you mean the water closet. Oh, by all means, help yourself. Not in here. It's out there. The affluent society hasn't reached this part of the world yet.
Thank you.
Not at all. Good afternoon. Would have seen him off.
You didn't, Harold, did you? Not in front of Mr. Heath.
Oh, don't worry. Your embarrassment has been spared. He's not coming.
Not coming? But I spent a fortune on all this grub.
But they're sending you 30 quid to cover it. Oh, it's a shame, really, he didn't come. I mean, Dolly Clackett had one or two things worked out for him that were red hot. They've never even dreamed of him in Broadstairs. Yeah, and I've... Oh, my God.
Don't pull the chain! Don't pull the chain! Ew!
Get this bucket off my head! Oh, for goodness sake, what will Mr. Heath think?
I mean, look, it's only red paint. I'm sorry, it's so way off. I can't apologise, please believe me. You see, it wasn't
get
meant for you.
Off
it won't move, mate.
What will Mr. Heath
could you come over to the welding cylinder? Just that way.
You have been listening to Wilfred Bramble and Harry H. Corbett as Steptoe and Son, with John Rye as de Burville and Edward Kelsey as Cadwell. Written and adapted for radio by Ray Galton and Alan Simpson, and produced by Bobby Jay.